This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message entitled, And God Said, Part 1, Pastor Aaron reminds us that when God speaks, things happen. God brought light into the formless and empty earth by speaking light into existence. Can God's words speak into the chaos of our lives as well? This message was delivered on March 19th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Done once again. You know, when I was putting together the program for today, and God put this song on my heart, Word of God Speak, and I asked the Lord, so who should I ask to sing the song? And his answer to me was, ask the one who speaks my word into your life. And I said, Pastor Scott cannot sing. And it was as if God laughed too. And he said, no, the other guy. And I thought about it, you know, because I deal with a lot of the technical things. A lot of my prayers, because I'm not tech savvy. A lot of my prayers is, Lord, help me with this and help me with that. And John is tech savvy. So he doesn't even know it, but he always comes, and things that I have been praying about, he has the answers for. I never did tell him that, but now he knows. And thank you, John, so much. And the guy can sing. Now, he can also play harmonica. That's why I don't pull him up to sing worship with us a whole lot, and I love the harmonica. But good morning. Welcome to New Hope East Hawaii this morning. So glad that you are here. And that song, Word of God Speak. As you can see, we are in this new series, but about God's speaking and His Word. But how many of us want that to be a daily prayer in our lives? That the Almighty God would continually speak His blessing over us. You know, that is one of my greatest desires as your pastor, is that to hear God speak over this church, not the building, but over each and every one of you, to see His blessing pour out like rain on your lives. And I believe with all my heart that that can happen. You believe that too?
Yes.
It can happen. Today we're kicking off this new series entitled, And God Said. Last month I touched on the fact that Time as we know it, began with God speaking everything into existence. That's the awesome power of our God, that he simply needs to speak and things happen. And they happen exactly as He says. He spoke into the chaos and He brought forth light. He spoke to the earth and He brought forth life. He speaks wisdom, He speaks correction, He speaks encouragement and hope. God has been speaking from the beginning of time, and He's still speaking today. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Don't you just love the line in that song that we just heard where it says, the last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say? Isn't that us? That we do way more talking than hearing God. Again, God has been speaking from the beginning of time, and the question is, are we listening? And if we are listening, if we are hearing God, then what are we doing about it? Over the next few weeks, we're going to be learning how to hear Him, how to receive His word, especially, listen to this now, especially when we don't like it. And then how to take action. And today I'm going to talk about the very first thing that God said, starting in Genesis 1, verse 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said. Now I'm going to stop right there for now, okay? I'm going to stop here because I want to preface this. When we see the words formless and empty, Or as some of you know this scripture as formless and void, as it's written in the King James Version. We get this picture of a serene, calm darkness, right? Like when you turn off the lights to go to sleep at night, especially if you live out here in Pune, where there's not a lot of traffic, not a lot of noise, far away from your neighbors. You get this serene feeling of darkness. And it was nothing like that. See, I did a study on this scripture. And what I found was that the two original words used in the Hebrew language were tohu and bohu. I never found out the literal meanings of those words. But what I did understand was that when these two words are used together, they don't depict something serene. They depict something of chaos, something chaotic. So God comes upon this place and he finds it in chaos, a dark place where nothing is working together for good. So what does God do? He speaks into the chaos. And what does he say? And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. What does God do? He commands the chaos, and it obeys. From something ugly and unproductive, he brings forth something good just by speaking. Again, that's the power of our God, and that's what he does. Now, earlier in the week, I asked Carlin to help me out with this. And when I told her, when I come to that scripture where I say, "And God said, you turn on the lights." And she said, "That is so lame. I'm not doing that." You know, I use this set of verse in my premarital counseling. And you'd be amazed at how many people, even though they've been going to church for a long time, I ask them this question: what was the first thing that God created? And they cannot give me the answer. A lot of them couldn't. And I had this one office that was set up perfect for this scripture because it was a really small office. My desk was facing the door. And the chairs where the couple would come in and sit down were right next to the doorway. Light switch right above the entry. So usually when they come in, the girl comes in first. She sits on the inside. Guy comes in. He sits right next to the door, right under the light switch. So I asked him this question. "And God said," and I look at them, and I see their faces puzzled. And I tell the guy, "Would you flip that switch on?" And the switch goes on, and then they get it, and they say, "Let there be light." Works perfect. Now, why would I use this set of scripture when it comes to marriage? Why would I use it for premarital counseling? And this is why. Because if you haven't figured it out yet, if you're not married and you don't know, I'm going to tell you right now, in marriage, there's chaos. There is chaos. 22 years, Carlin and I have been married, and yeah, plenty chaos because of her. Yeah, I'm not going home today. I was planning on this already. But in marriage, there is chaos. If you don't believe me, ask any married couple. Is that a bad thing? Not necessarily. You know why? Because when a man and a woman, husband and a wife, in the midst of chaos, choose to allow God to speak into it, he'll make something beautiful. He'll bring forth light. I always ask him, "Where do you think God is in your chaos?" You know where he is? He's right there, waiting for us to cooperate with him so he can speak light. That's why I use it in premarital counseling. Truth is that in any relationship, doesn't have to be marriage, any relationship, if you together long enough, you're going to get on each other's nerves sometime or another, maybe even just through joking around, there will be chaos. In this life, there is chaos. Whether you're married or not, Life is filled with chaos. Chaos in marriage, chaos in relationships, chaos at work, chaos at school, chaos on the road. If you're alive and not a hermit, chaos is inevitable. Listen to this. Jesus said it would be. John 16, 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In this life, there is going to be chaos. In fact, just this morning, there was chaos in my household. This dragon entered my house. He was about that big. But Carlin is deathly afraid of lizards. I was using the restroom and she's texting me and calling me. Because she's deadly afraid of lizards, there's chaos in my household. And God sent the light to go take care of that chaos. You like to see real chaos in my house? Let one centipede come into my house. You like to see Pastor Aaron scream like a girl. There is chaos in this life. That's inevitable. But guess what? That's how God found this place in the first place, in chaos. But he didn't leave it that way. He spoke into the chaos. He said, let there be light. He commanded the chaos and it obeyed. And what does the Bible say? And there was light. So let me ask you this. What do you do when there's chaos in your life? I'll be the first one to admit that when chaos confronts me, more often than not, I do everything but what I know I should do. Sometimes I panic. You do that? Sometimes I get angry. I get frustrated. I give up. These are the things that I usually do when chaos confronts me. We all do these things. But the truth is, we don't have to. The truth is that when chaos enters our lives, we should rejoice. You know, I said there's chaos in my marriage. We have learned in 22 years, took us about 7 actually, to learn to embrace the chaos. Why? Because God, we know that God can create something beautiful from it. And that's what God can do. He can take our chaos and he can turn it into light. But here's the key. 3 words. If we let him. 4 words. If we let him. So how do we do that? This morning I'm going to give you 3 steps. And they don't begin with panic or anger or frustration. And they definitely don't begin with giving up. The first step is to simply stop. When chaos confronts you in your life, first thing to do is stop. Just stop. And I didn't say it was easy. I know as well as anyone else that the hardest thing to do in the midst of trouble is nothing. Every defensive mechanism in our bodies goes into operation in the midst of chaos, and we feel the need to act, right? But look at what it says in Psalm 46. He says, be still and know that I am God. In Psalm 37, it says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Be still. Seriously, be still. God's words, not mine. You know what he's saying? God is saying this to us. He's saying, don't worry, I got this. Let me do my thing. I've been doing this from the beginning of time. That's what God is saying. Now let me ask this. In the midst of chaos, more often than not, when we choose to act, what happens? When we choose to act in those other ways, if we panic or get frustrated or get angry. Now I don't know how you answer that one, but I know when I act first, before being still, just about 100% of the time, 100% of the time, I make things worse. I make things worse. When my feelings, my rights, my actions take center stage, chaos does not become light. You know what it becomes? More chaos. And that's why God says, be still. That's why he says, be still. So that we don't get in his way of creating something good. Make sense? Exodus 14 tells us this, that the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. The first step, stop. Now, if you think the first step is difficult, listen to the second. Number two, silence yourself. Now, I already know what's going to happen when we go home today. It's going to go something like this. Carlin's going to say, today I had a really good message in church. You need to listen to that one. And I'm going to say, I talked to the guy who did that message. He said it was for you. And then she's going to come back with something else, and I'm going to come back with something else, and she's going to come back with something else. And then 5 minutes later, she's going to come out with, 20 years ago. Just from that example. No, we're not going to do that, right? Okay. But just from that example. You see how much easier and effective it would be to learn how to embrace silence. Yet it's so hard to do, yeah? One thing I know for sure is that God will never try to outspeak us, let alone try to create light when we're too busy causing chaos with our words. The Apostle James, he worded it like this. He said, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. 1 Kings chapter 19 tells us a story about a prophet. Prophet who's in the midst of being pursued by a band of people who want to kill him because of something that God asked him to do. I call it chaotic. But in the chaos, Elijah, this prophet, is crying out to God. And it says that he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain. And in the presence of the Lord, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Now, why did I throw this story in here? Because I want everybody to catch this. God is not in the powerful wind. He's not in the earthquake, not in the fire. How does God show up? In a gentle whisper. I wonder how many times I've missed a miracle in my life because I was too busy complaining about the chaos, too distracted by my thoughts, to hear the gentle whisper of God wanting to speak light in my life. Can you identify with that? God will not try to outspeak us. We need to learn to stop and be silent so that he can, and this is number three, or so we can, let God speak. Let God speak. This is what he has desired to do from the beginning of time. He's desired to bless his children. The New Testament, which is written in Greek, translates this word. AJ, would you bring that up? The word eulogio. And eulogio is the word that is written into blessing when translated into English. Eulogio, the literal meaning is to speak well of. That's what it means. And that's what happens when God speaks well of us. Blessings happen. Now, unlike us, when we speak words, they don't come about unless we take action. God has the power. When he speaks, it happens. So it happens when God chooses to speak well of us. Blessings happen in our lives. And like I said, that's what he wants to do. You know how I know? Because he said so. Jeremiah 29:11. What does he say? He says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." See, God can take calamity and turn it into hope. He can take chaos and turn it into light if we allow him to speak. Isaiah tells us, "To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair." Now, I know you'd agree with me that this world is full of ashes and mourning and despair. That's the truth. But there's a bigger truth. A bigger truth in a big God. And that truth is that he can bring beauty from ashes. And he can bring blessings from mourning. He can bring praise from despair. He can create light from chaos. Again, if we let him. And that's the bottom line for today. That God can speak light into my life. Question is, will I let him? Will I let him? If there's a blessing that I can leave you with today, that blessing would be this. That God said, "Let there be light in your life." And there was light. Not only was there light, but it was good. Amen. Be blessed. This is God.
You, Pastor Aaron, you know, at one time, maybe in your life, maybe in my life, but there was chaos. I mean, just maybe that might be your life now. And maybe God brought you here this morning so that you can ask Jesus into your life so that the chaos turns into peace and the chaos is removed and there's no more chaos in your life. Maybe you need to be still. But the first step is saying, you know what, I need help. I need a Savior. I need somebody to speak into my life. If that is you, then I would ask all of you to bow your heads and say this prayer with me with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me, change me, cleanse me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray over you. God bless you back there. Anybody else? No shame. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. They want you to speak into their life. Let there be light. The chaos will be gone. And that you would bring order into their life. That they would be still and know that you are God. Though your word says that heaven rejoices over one who repents. And we know that heaven rejoices right now over those who have repented and said yes to you. All praise and glory and honor go to you, and we thank you that you get to use New Hope East Hawaii as a vessel to spread your good news to disciples.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Ka'au, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.
Just kidding.